south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. All right, you're back once again with me, Johnny, and I've got a front row seat, but at a very safe distance, from the stateside First World Shit Show. First, Latin American factoid. Did you know that in 1562, the Roman Catholic priest Diego de Landa Calderón, he burned 10,000 Mayan manuscripts, or codices as they're called. He destroyed so many that only less than five exist for scholars to study today. Now, this priest was so proud of what he'd done, he actually made a statement in the Spanish court. He's on record as saying, quote, "We found a large number of Mayan books, as they contain nothing but superstition and lies of the devil. We burned them all." After the big bonfire, the King of Spain and the rest of the royal court, many of whom were bishops and cardinals, they were pleased and wholeheartedly approved. And the cardinal elevated him and gave him a promotion. The moral of that story? Well, I don't have to tell you. I think you know. All right, and here's one more crazy historical fact. Now, we all know about Einstein's theory of general relativity and that it actually has many practical uses in astronomy, GPS transmissions, communications, etc. Now, he wrote the first paper on that theory in 1915, but there was really no scientific way to prove that in the laboratory or in the field. They just didn't have good enough instruments back then. Now, a lot of scientists didn't like Einstein. They were jealous of him. He just pumped out too many revolutionary ideas and papers at too young an age. Besides, he didn't go to the proper schools. You know, academic jealousy is a real and terrible thing. Ruins a lot of careers and lines of research, too. After all, if your colleagues are jealous and don't like you, and they have the ear of research institution academics and government appropriations committees, well, let's just say if you don't kiss their asses, you won't get any grants. So anyway, Einstein has this theory of relativity, and he's just becoming world famous for some other theories of his. Like his revolutionary paper on black body radiation, for example. So anyway, Einstein has this other brilliant theory in 1915, general relativity, and it couldn't be proven physically, only mathematically. Well, here's what you didn't know. In 1931, a book came out. The title, 100 Authors Against Einstein. And in it, 28 different PhD scientists contributed an essay each. Each one describing why they thought his theory of general relativity was completely wrong-headed. They said it was impossible, a bad precedent to publish, and a step backward for science. Then, 7 years later, in 1938, there was a very rare solar eclipse. And that allowed scientists, if they were on different parts of the Earth, to measure light coming from the edge of the sun. So, once and for all, they were able to measure the bending of light due to the sun's gravity, proving that Einstein was 100% correct. So then what's the point? Well, just think about all the fake science coming out of this COVID-idiot thing. And how months and months ago, various different research scientists and doctors worldwide, treating their own patients that came down with symptoms of the disease, they found there was a huge improvement, even cures, just by using vitamin C, vitamin D, selenium, a cheap $10 anti-parasitic drug called ivermectin, magnesium, and chloroquinone. Meanwhile, the status quo, bought and paid for, big pharma, doctors and researchers. They called those guys using the cheap drugs and vitamins charlatans and liars. They were canceled by social media and some of them even fired. Countless reputations and careers were ruined. Fast forward to right about now. Suddenly, even in the lame street media, articles are popping up saying things like vitamin D will cut your chance of COVID by 60%. And when symptoms arise, if you take chloroquinolone, that drug will drastically reduce your chances of having to go to the hospital and ending up on one of those ventilators, which for some is the kiss of death in itself. You know what I'm talking about. So the act of certain doctors and researchers entrenched in the system, like Dr. Fauci, pissing on doctors and colleagues that don't fit the government and big pharma party line. Well, as you just heard from the Einstein example, that's nothing new. Oh, and in the end, what do you think happened to all those scientists who called Einstein a fraud and a liar in print? Nothing, and that's exactly what's going to happen to all those weenie healthcare professionals that poo-pooed the idea of vitamin C, D, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, etc., doing any good for patients. It's nothing for them to destroy the reputations of the real doctors in the trenches who are using this stuff and finding it works. The lesson here is, if you're a researcher and you create a drug that Big Pharma can pet, you'll get all the grants you could possibly need. But if you discover a cure or a treatment that happens to be a commonly used generic drug or vitamin, more than likely you'll get no press at all. Worse yet, like they did with chloroquinone and ivermectin, they'll say it's dangerous to take it, even though millions of people have been taking it for dozens of years to treat malaria and intestinal parasites. Well, it took a year of mainstream bashing of these doctors and their cheap treatments. But now, finally, the usual suspects are coming around because those cheap treatments work. And the public is catching on. Enough said about that. All right, now I have a little expat insider seminar update. As you might imagine, since I had to postpone the January event due to the COVID-iot stuff, I've been holding off on picking new dates, just waiting for the word from Guatemalan immigration and healthcare authorities as to when they're going to start honoring the rapid COVID-iot tests at the airport. That's what's been holding us up, because as you know, that piece of crap PCR test takes some time, at least one day, sometimes two, to get the results back. And as you know, there are various rapid testing procedures. Some of them take 15 minutes, some up to 2 hours. And they are starting to be accepted in most airports and countries around the world. In fact, many airports are setting up testing sites right on the premises. For example, I just got notice that they're doing it in all the big airports in Colombia. Soon, all Latin American countries will be on board with those saliva and rapid blood antigen tests. So then, when will that happen in Guatemala? That's where we'll be doing our seminar, of course. Well, according to inside sources, that could be happening within a couple of weeks. In any event, the new seminar dates will be selected to give all attendees at least 1 month's notice so that they can make travel arrangements without too much undue stress or pressure. After all, most people who signed up for the postponed January seminar had already booked their airline tickets, and they've got a refund or a credit. So now they'll have to rebook and shuffle dates, etc. Oh, just one more thing. No matter what you've been hearing from the lamestream press, you know, Bill Gates and the Dr. Falsies of the world, you know, the ones with pharmaceutical patents that stand to make billions on this fiasco. Well, when the talking heads talk about a second wave or new variants, as if that's some kind of new and catastrophic development, the fact is that's what every virus does. It changes and adapts. That's why every new flu season has a new variant of last year's virus. And it's also true that no matter what you've been hearing, true COVID-iot cases with actual symptoms are way, way down. Oh, and did you know it was recently reported that the CDC now admits only 6-9% of reported COVID-iot deaths were actually due to COVID-iot virus alone? That means technically, by definition, it's not really a pandemic at all. But that's what they call it, and for that screw-up, the entire world economy was shut down and everyone kicked into a permanent state of high anxiety. And you know, it's not much consolation to realize that the history books will not be kind to the bureaucratic perpetrators of this. But as they say, every silver lining has a storm cloud or something like that. So what's the silver lining? Well, how about the fact that Montezuma's revenge is way down since the street vendors are now washing their hands at least once a day? Oh, and you know, it'll be at least 1 year before countries and airlines start requiring travelers to get vaccines or a vaccine card. Welcome to the gulag, huh? Step right this way. Black sheep to the right, white sheep to the left. However, this is Latin America, so you know. Rules are bent and broken all the time. So you can bet there will be ways around it. But you know, just the idea looming that you'll have to have a vaccine card should really light a fire under your butt to kick that plan B into high gear. What I'm saying is this. All you gringos and future expats coming to my next Expat Insider Seminar will not need a vaccination or vaccine card to travel. But the seminar after that, the following seminar, most likely in January 2022, you know, that's almost a year away. By then, you can figure vaccinations and vaccine cards will be mandatory. My advice, if you want to avoid the dangers of that, do sign on to my upcoming seminar. Just go to expatplanb.com and click on the seminar link and you'll get all the info. So again, I'll remind you, don't put it off, because if you plan on coming to another one, you'll most likely be forced to have a vaccine and get a vaccine card. Are you good with that? Not me. Though I know the average slug buys into all of that stuff, even some very smart people too. Hell, my mother got the vaccine and she's got two PhDs, but none of them are in science. nor does she ever use an independent search engine other than Google. In other words, she, like 95% of the rest of the world, is manipulated by Google AI and only sees what Google, Facebook, Twitter, WHO, and big pharma marketers want her to see. But you knew that already, right? Now, speaking of AI, on occasion I get emails from people saying, Johnny, I use Google Translate and it works pretty good, but what about all those handheld translation devices? How's the state of the art with those things? Do they really work a hell of a lot better than Google Translate? Or am I better off sticking with Google Translate or just some of the free translation apps? Now, you know, for a long time, there have been apps on the phone besides Google Translate that do a pretty decent job of word-for-word translation. You know, each word translated one at a time. But as you know, they can be very imperfect when it comes to accents and street lingo. Because, you know, almost no one speaks the same way books, paragraphs, and sentences are written. And, you know, there was the promise some years back that you'd just be able to get an app, hold up your phone to someone who's speaking in Spanish or Japanese, and you'll get the translation back right away. However, the people that designed those apps don't seem to have any understanding or appreciation of how languages really work. After all, they are programmers who didn't consult natives to check if their examples were accurate, correct, or if the verbs and nouns were even in the right order. So, in effect, you have all these nerds sitting at home or in cubicles designing translation apps. Problem is, there are just too many situations where a word has several different translations, depending on how you use it. Here's an example, and it's an extreme example. Did you know the word set, S-E-T, in English, has 464 meanings in the Oxford Dictionary? And the word run, R-U-N, has 396 entries in the Oxford Dictionary? And as far as Spanish, the word lo, L-O, can mean a ton of different things in English, too. For example, it can mean it. It can mean that which is. It can mean what. It can mean him or her or you, all depending on the usage and context. Now, as for most phone translation apps, they do a pretty good job when you snap, for example, a picture of a sign or a menu or bulletin board. But they could have real problems with the human voice. And that was the state of it up to a couple of years ago. Now, things have changed dramatically since the introduction of AI into these systems. So if you have one of those devices, I'm not talking about the apps now, I'm talking about a standalone device. It costs around $100 to $300. And there's 10 or so brands to choose from, too. Anyway, if you speak slowly into it in a standard kind of formal dialect without a heavy accent, they will work pretty well. But that's ideally, and here's how it usually goes. You speak into it in proper English. It'll translate into Spanish, in this case, in proper Spanish. Maybe not 100% correct. But to the Latino or Latina you're with, they'll get the gist no problem most all the time. All right, so far so good when you're speaking to them and the machine's doing the translating. Problem is when they answer you or they've got something to say back to you. Unless they're a stickler for form or are the nerdy type, they'll be using conversational street language. And AI, though very good for straight formal English or Spanish, will sometimes, when confronted with street language, spit out total gibberish. Though I have to admit, those translation devices have really improved. Now, if it was me and I just landed in Latin America and I didn't know a lick of Spanish, I'd definitely shop around for one of those dedicated devices, because if you're using a phone app, even if it's a pretty good one, you're going to get calls and messages and texts and ads linked to all the other apps and crap you got loaded into your phone. Look, how many times have you been speaking to someone on your phone and sounds start dinging because you're getting calls and messages and the person on the other end is getting bombarded with their own crap and messages and ads too? However, if you've got a dedicated little device, and those things are only about a third the size of a smartphone, you could just have that on hand all the time and use it at will, no matter what's happening or going down with yourself. But they ain't cheap, and there are some really good ones out there, but they're only really good if they're always connected to the cloud somewhere. That's why they perform so well. They're constantly connected to very powerful AI via the cloud. Now, personally, I don't like using the cloud for much of anything because it's always available for others to look at or steal. Though in the case of a translation device, as long as you're not divulging secrets or credit card numbers, that doesn't really matter. In that case, being connected to the cloud is a huge advantage. Now, if you want me to recommend one of those standalone devices, I advise just do a search for the top 10 translation devices and pick one of those. Now, the good news is that this is the Expat Files living in Latin America. So you're translating back and forth from English to Spanish. And luckily for us, Spanish to English and vice versa is one of the easier AI tasks. AI being, of course, artificial intelligence. Now, most handheld devices will translate up to 100 different languages. and they're really good at some and really crappy at others. And Spanish happens to be at the top of the list for ease of translation and syntax. That's a really good thing, too. Now, I know most gringos and expats, once they get down here, will use some kind of app or dedicated translation device. Problem is, it could get to be a habit and a crutch you never get over. It reminds me, you know, when you're watching a movie and you click on the subtitles. I watch movies with English subtitles once in a while, probably because I'm a little deaf from playing in a rock band all those years. By the way, a rocker down here is called a rockero. Oh, and they've got a name for people who are into cryptocurrency and Bitcoin, too. They call them crypto moneros. Or if you're just into Bitcoin, you're a Bitcoinero. It's that E-R-O ending thing again. Like, for example, carpenter, carpintero. Oh, and speaking of Bitcoineros, I was talking to a depressed gringo the other day who owns a little coffee shop with sandwiches and such. And naturally, his business is suffering big time with the COVIDiot lockdowns, people not working, people stuck at home. And he was kind of pumping me for business ideas. He told me he had a year or so to go on his lease, so he was stuck with it. And he was hoping to jumpstart the place with a new idea or a new name or something. I said, look, everybody's nuts about crypto now. Why don't you call it the Bitcoin Cafe? Put a bunch of Bitcoin and crypto logos everywhere. Get one of those Bitcoin ATMs installed. Switch your big screen TVs, he's got three of them, to permanently show crypto markets and YouTube channels. There are plenty of those. Then have some nights where crypto guys give classes. So in the end, just make it a crypto-themed cafe. And I guarantee you'll get all kinds of publicity. The local TV stations and the papers will do features on you because Bitcoin and crypto is all the rage right now, just like up in the States. In fact, practically every single gringo and expat I know is either dabbling in it or want to suck up every little bit of knowledge they can about it so they can dive in. Or at least test the waters, and not just in Bitcoin, in Ethereum and all the DeFi coins too. You know, the proverbial shit coins. Because, you know, the thing is, we're in a massive crypto bull market now, and even if it dumps once in a while, traders will tell you that's how they make money, no matter if it goes up or down. The more volatility, the more traders love it, because they make their money on shorts and calls and on the arbitrage and spread between currencies. Now, I'm not advising you do any of that kind of speculating yourself. My personal strategy is just to buy and hold. My strategy is simple, but believe me, fortunes are being made and some lost too every day in the crypto space. And I'm absolutely convinced if someone was to set up a Bitcoin cafe, I don't care what town you're in, and even if you're smack on the gringo tourist trail, where there really are no tourists anymore, well, there's always a smattering. A place called the Bitcoin Cafe, can you imagine the great conversations that go on in a place like that? Because it really is true. Every Bitcoiner I know, or cryptocurrency guy, seem to be well above average, curious, free-spirited, and somewhat libertarian. So if you're down here in Latin America and you're looking for like-minded people to hang out with and talk to, well, put it this way, if I landed here in Latin America, just got my plan B going, I got the hell out of Dodge, I think that's exactly what I would do. Rent out a space and open a Bitcoin cafe. Tell you what, you'd have an instant clientele and the best kind of conversations you could imagine. And the cool thing is, as of now, I don't know of anyone who's done it yet. Now, remember, in this age of COVID, you really want to avoid brick-and-mortar businesses at all costs. But when you can fill or discover a really cool niche, that's another thing. And you've got that strange advantage that after a year of this COVIDiot thing, there are just so many empty and bankrupt storefronts and restaurants. If you paid 6 months up front, you'd probably get 6 months for free. But I digress. Where were we? Oh, yeah. Talking about those translation programs. You know, Google Translate and those audio translators have been just a boom for the cross-cultural mating and dating scene. In fact, my own brother up in Chicago has a Latina girlfriend now who he's never met. Though they're on the chat apps all the time, he speaks a little Spanish, about a 2 or 3 on the 10 scale, and she speaks zero English. So truthfully, their relationship would not even exist if it wasn't for Google Translate. But you know, it doesn't matter how good or perfect the translation is. Those devices or apps will never convey subtle vocal cues we all have when we speak to people. You know, like how you could immediately tell if someone's pissed off, being facetious, sarcastic, happy, sad, drunk, whatever. Your translation app or standalone device will never pick up on that. Well, maybe down the line when AI gets really good. Just don't count on it. Not for a while, anyway. So as it turns out, just in the last few years, there have been all kinds of cross-cultural romances going down online. Which is all right, I guess, until you actually have to sit down and meet that person face-to-face. What are you going to do? Pass your device back and forth like a hot potato? I don't know, it could be a bit odd, and for sure, it will wear on you. I'll let you know, because my brother's flying down on the 1st of March here to Latin America to meet that girl for the first time. We'll see how it goes. I'll keep you posted. When, by the way, they didn't find each other on one of those Latin Cupid dating sites. Those things are just rife with fraud and gold diggers. You heard me do a show on that maybe a year ago now. He actually met her through someone I know here in Latin America, who then hooked him up 2 or 3 months ago. It's a very interesting and cool story. I'll tell you about it sometime. All right, changing gears. Now, you longtime listeners know I've never really recommended Nicaragua for expats and gringos or to have a plan B there. Not because it isn't a beautiful country with nice people. And, of course, they've got their share of narcos, too. Problem is, it's run by a former Nicaraguan Sandinista guerrilla, a rapist pedophile who's morphed into a socialist dictator. You know the name, Daniel Ortega. Now, the first couple of terms he was in office, he was fairly benevolent because all that Chinese money was pouring in, and he had the big skim going. But now that there won't be any Chinese canal going through Nicaragua, the funds have dried up, and he's showing his true colors. But, you know, most of us gringos and expats who've been living here in Latin America more than a dozen or so years, we knew he was going to be bad news. I've mentioned that many times on the show. However, people do what they're going to do, and some gringos and expats who came to my Expat Insider seminars ended up in Nicaragua anyway. Some of them even started brick-and-mortar businesses on a certain coastal Pacific town of about 25,000 people, San Juan del Sur. It's really a funky-gone-native surfer dude town. And it is that one town in Nicaragua that's got the most gringos per capita. So then you might ask, with this COVID crap, what's happening there now with all the gringos and their businesses? Well, let me read you this email that just came in from Rob. He says, "Hola, Johnny. Did you know that the Nicaraguan government is now threatening and extorting gringo and expat residents? Fact is," he says, "Nicaragua is changing the goalposts on residents and changing the durations for residency requirements. They've jacked up the price for it, too, and are calling in and grilling current residents in interrogations, asking questions about their relationship with dissident political affiliations, whether real or imagined." He says suddenly, gringo residents are being grilled by an increasingly paranoid and simultaneously cash-strapped ruling elite, with Nicaraguan residency requirements for monthly income levels being quite low, around $800 a month, as I recall. It was always a booming expat plan B for backpackers and bargain basement gringo types who were convinced that if you stayed living up in the States, you'd just be circling the toilet bowl along with the turds. So in effect, he says, pure, full-on bureaucratic greed and lunacy has come to Nicaragua. So what's a gringo to do? Live in a van down by a tropical river close to a border so you could wander like a classic gypsy back and forth as the border laws wax and wane with the U.S. secretly calling the immigration shots? Or, Johnny, he says, adopt my strategy, which is to live on a boat. Anyway, Johnny, keep up the super south of the border reporting. Much appreciated and rare in today's fake news world of the web. Signed, Oaxaca Bob. All right, Bob, thanks for that. And Bob, frankly, you know, all I've been hearing for the past couple of years from gringos and expats living in Nicaragua is drips and drabs of bad news, censorship on TV and in the newspapers, lots of protests and street demonstrations in the capital of Managua, and generally just a feeling of low-level anxiety throughout the country. Now, of course, your typical gringo expat, no matter where he is in Latin America, doesn't really watch TV or read the local newspapers, so the political situation doesn't really affect him or her much at all. Why? Because us gringos and expats live in our own kind of self-made environment. And even if you're way off the gringo tourist trail and don't run into many gringos, you've created your own little version of paradise, which includes living like a first-world person, by the way, with things organized just the way you want them. Meanwhile, presidents, politicians, and political parties come and go, and they don't really affect you. Which is why, for example, you could approach a gringo who's been living in Latin America in a particular town or country for 10-plus years, and he won't even know the name of the president, much less the vice president, or the mayor of his own town. We're gringos doing our own thing, and we just don't give a rip who's in charge. If you've seen one pustule, you've seen them all. And really, the only time we ever get pissed or it upsets us is when there's some kind of street demonstration, or huelga it's called, screwing up traffic, turning a half-hour trip into a two-hour trip. That's about the most we're ever affected by politics. Unless they tighten up the residency laws, which they've just done in Nicaragua. And because Nicaragua's got a virtual dictator, that never ends well. So you really can't feel sorry for gringos and expats living there. They were advised. All the signs and symptoms were there 10 years ago. But people do what they want to do, and they're finding it's not the happy paradise it used to be. Though lately I've had some communications from other gringos and expats living in the boonies in Nicaragua. And they say things for them are just fine, absolutely normal, not a problem. But you see, that's how it is in most all of Latin America if you live out in the boonies. You do your thing and your neighbors could be half a mile away from you. They don't bother you at all. And the government, well, no matter how abusive or corrupt it is, they stick to flexing their muscle in the towns and cities, mostly because they haven't got the money, resources, or manpower to harass or police people out in the boonies. Besides, everyone out in the boonies got a 3-foot machete strapped to his leg. And now an email from Mr. BT, who signed up for the Expat Insider Seminar, and even though it was postponed, he came down anyway to get some dental work done. Listen to this. By the way, he's never been to Latin America before, and you know, that's the thing. A lot of people say, listen, I've never been to Latin America, and I'm going to go to Guatemala or El Salvador or Honduras first time down? I don't know, Johnny. CNN says those places are hellholes. What if I get robbed or, God forbid, kidnapped by cannibals? You know, some people do have those thoughts. Anyway, here's the email. He says, hey, Johnny, just wanted to give you an update on my January Guatemala trip. I spent a week in Guatemala City and a week in Antigua, Guatemala, and I can't wait to come back. In the end, I'm glad I was there for 2 weeks because in addition to a cracked tooth I needed replacing, I cracked a second one while in Antigua. So Dr. Alex has his work cut out for him. Did I tell you how pleased I was with Dr. Alex in a previous email? By the way, still waiting for my royalties from you mentioning my last email on your show. Then he says, I want to let you know also how really pleased I was with your seminar logistic coordinator, Rita. My trip would have been much more stressful had I not had her in my corner. First, she gave a great tour and her perfect English made it even more enjoyable. Secondly, when I needed transportation from Antigua to Dr. Alex's office for that second broken tooth, she had a driver in the wings waiting for me. And very reasonably priced and punctual, too. No mañana time for him or Rita. And because he speaks about as much English as I do Spanish, Rita was a great go-between. She made sure everything was clear when I needed to be picked up and how long the appointment was going to be, etc., etc. In the end, I really don't know how I could have gotten through this 2 weeks without Rita. I might have muddled through, but having her involved made everything so much easier. Plus, she knows everyone here. Man, is she connected. Everywhere we went, she seemed to know the workers, waiters, owners, all of them. She gave me a list of restaurants, too, and recommendations that I found very helpful. Would happily recommend her to anyone headed to Guatemala. And he finishes by saying, thanks again, Johnny. That's a hell of a team you have put together in Guatemala. Now that I've had some boots on the ground there, I see why you like it so much. Sincerely, Mr. BT. Well, thanks for that, Mr. BT, and we'll be seeing you at the seminar.
South of the border. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.